This Frontenas podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. The Texas Secretary of State's office announced January 25th that there were 95,000 suspected non-citizens who were registered to vote. The Secretary of State advised county registrars to purge them from the voter rolls. Weeks later, the Secretary of State's office admitted at least 25,000 voters on the list were, in fact, U.S. citizens. Latino voters who were on that list and organizations including MALDEF, LULAC, and the League of Women Voters of Texas filed suit against Secretary of State David Whitley. Just last month, the suit was settled. Another plaintiff in the suit was the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project, SVREP. It was founded in 1974 by San Antonio native Willie Velasquez and other Mexican-American political activists to encourage Mexican-Americans in the Southwest to vote. Velasquez believed that a person's vote was his or her voice. Su voto es su voz. 45 years since its founding, SVREP has grown into the largest and oldest nonpartisan Latino voter participation organization in the country. Because of its efforts, Latino voter participation has nearly tripled from 5.4 million in 1994 to 14.3 million today. Lidia Camarillo is president of the SVREP. She succeeded longtime president Antonio Gonzalez, who died of cancer November 11, 2018. Camarillo says she wasn't surprised by the Secretary of State's claim that 95,000 registered voters should be purged.
We then decided that it was important that we sue. The director of elections was quoted in the deposition saying that the secretary knew that on the list there were U.S. citizens. They also knew that at least from the homework that they had done, 25,000 of the 95,000 were clearly United States citizens. What we discovered as we were trying to figure out how we engage in this lawsuit and whether or not we challenged the Secretary of State and Texas was that a lot of the people had green cards when they got the license or their IDs. Then time moves forward, they become citizens, and then they register, and then they vote. And that's perfectly legal. It's allowed. But the Secretary of State wanted to, in my mind, the state of Texas is convinced that Latinos are going to turn out to vote in record numbers in 2020. And they're worried about their U.S. Senate seat and congressional seats. And since in 2018, for the first time, Texas, while not competitive in the sense that from those who are progressive and expected Beto O'Rourke to win, the Democrats won and flipped two state Senate seats and 12 state House seats. So when after that, we weren't surprised that very quickly in January, the Secretary of State claims flawlessly with intent to discriminate that Latinos were voting who became citizens through the naturalization process, were voting without the right to vote and were illegally voting. The problem with that is that he also asked the counties to send a letter to some of the people that were on the list. And people on the list were then worried that they couldn't vote. And it basically, the letter included comments like, it's a criminal offense, you're not supposed to do this. So the lawsuit includes several civil rights organizations, which were one of them, and second, several individuals who actually received these letters who became citizens. We then moved to court, but we ended up settling, and we just closed the settlement. Part of what we have asked is that the Secretary of State, and there are three groups that sued. League of Women Voters is one group with MoveOn.org, LULAC, and then our group, which is represented by MALDEF. Our settlement added pieces to the settlement, and one of them in particular is that every person who is on the list receive a letter from the county saying that they have a right to vote. It was important for us that we settle this so that people could vote. That's the first piece of the settlement. The second piece of the settlement includes teaching and educating the groups, the elections office, about what is allowed in terms of becoming a citizen, reminding people that have green cards end up going through this process. If you are on the list and people think that you're not a citizen, you also have a right and time to demonstrate that you're a citizen. If you're able to demonstrate you're a citizen, and there's several ways of demonstrating that, we were able to add other documents to demonstrate that. If you're able to demonstrate that, then they must reinstate you. That is different than re-registering you. They were never supposed to purge you, pull you out of the list. So again, Texas did what it always does, find a way to discriminate. When Congress officially decides to reauthorize the Voting Rights Act, it should be monitored by the Justice Department because it has a long history of discriminating, and we have cases, we have one that demonstrates that, whether it's the voter ID, whether it's the redistricting, whether it's other cases in the past where there is plain discrimination. But it's more than that. It's with intent to discriminate and dilute the Latino vote.
And so what happens with these individuals whose names were on the voter purge list? Is there still some remnant of their names on these lists that may cause them to be turned away at the polls?
Well, first of all, I think your question is very important. If someone's on the list, listen, because there's 250 counties, and several counties were the ones that were the worst offenders, sending letters immediately, letting them know that you're not a citizen, therefore you violated the law. But if you're on the list and you're not sure, you can call Southwest Voter or MALDEF to check. But more importantly, you have a right to vote. You show up and you vote. If they ask you and tell you that you're not on the list anymore, you ask for a provisional ballot so you can vote. And then inform us and let us know so that we can. This is still part, in my mind, of our effort to educate the community. One of the things that's very clear to us is that when these demands and suits, and whether it was the president who claimed there were 3 million people who voted illegally, the Secretary of State and the Attorney General spent $1 million trying to prove that there was fraud, well, they have never found anything significant to demonstrate that. There are errors. We're not going to say that there aren't. But there isn't anything that demonstrates that there's rampant, or any for that matter, even 1% of those that are registered to vote that are voting fraudulently. So for us, it's very, very important that people understand you are a voter. You have the right to vote. You register. Don't miss the opportunity to vote in these elections.
And we also want to point out that when this program re-airs on Sunday, which will be after the election, we also have to be aware that you need to vote for the runoffs. Now, going back to something that you had mentioned about Donald Trump claiming that there were millions of illegal votes, it almost seems like this particular play by the Texas Secretary of State's office seems to almost fall into that argument, almost to try to play into the administration's argument that there were illegal voters and so many illegal votes continue to happen. What's your opinion on that?
Texas has a history of doing this all the time. That was the argument when they passed the voter ID the first time. So that was way before Trump was even remotely thinking of running for president, or at least that publicly we would know that he was running for president. I believe there's a coordinated effort in states and around the country that when there's a state that is red, solid Republican, and there's the demographics are changing in that state, and you see more blacks and Latinos and Asians and other communities of color taking part in America's democracy, there is an attempt to figure out how you block them from taking their place in America's politics and Americans' power. So to that point, yes, there is, I think, a coordinated effort. What Abbott and the Secretary of State are doing is no different than what Trump did when he got elected and claimed that 3 million Latinos, frankly, because I think he was arguing and he wanted the data from Texas and California and where Latinos reside. And when he asked for the data from Texas, he specifically asked for the data of those voters in Texas. Southwest Voter has been around for, this is our 45th year. One thing that is clear to Southwest Voter and to all of us that are engaged in this effort, that if you're a non-documented person, you are not going to get yourself into a situation where you are going to be called for fear of being deported. More than likely, if you're a non-documented person, you have family. You don't want to be separated from your family. So you're not going to do anything that not only provides the opportunity for the state to deport you, but more importantly, call on yourself by doing something like this. And the rules are very clear. People understand that when they're signing a registration card, it's like an affidavit with a possibility of being incriminated with perjury, that they are, in fact, signing a legal document. And so people don't do it. And that's clear by the historical efforts that the state has done and the money that they have spent and found nothing. So to your question and to your point, America and Latinos are under attack, and they're under attack by Trump. He does not want to see us taking part in America's democracy. We see that by the way he's splitting families and separating them. We see that by the way he's breaking the law when it has to do with amnesty and asylum cases. The law clearly says that any person from a refugee from another country, when you enter and you ask at a port of entry, I'm here, I'm asking for asylum, they have to give you the right to give for a hearing to determine whether your case allows you under the rule of law to enter America and be protected by the laws. They are changing that constantly because they don't want to see us, Latinos and brown people. That's why I'm convinced it's about brown people. Obviously, they don't want blacks either because they have the Muslim ban, and we have on and on and on. But Latinos are under attack, and it is our responsibility to protect our communities with the vote.
We're speaking with Lidia Camarillo, president of the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project. When we come back,
since we opened our doors, Southwest Voter has registered 2.7 million Latinos. We have trained 150,000 leaders, some of them who are elected officials, business leaders, heads of nonprofits, leaders who are making a difference.
More from Lidia Camarillo next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Willie Velasquez was driven by an unwavering belief that every American should have a role in our democracy and a share in the opportunities of our great nation. Willie Velasquez died too young. He was just 44 when he passed away in 1988, but in his vibrant life, he restored faith in our ideals and in ourselves. And no person in modern America who has run for public office, wherever Hispanic Americans live, has failed to feel the hand of Willie Velasquez.
That's President Bill Clinton in a 1995 ceremony posthumously honoring Willie Velasquez with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor a civilian can receive in the United States. Velasquez coordinated boycotts for the United Farm Workers in the Rio Grande Valley and became involved with El Movimiento Social de la Raza, the precursor of La Raza Unida Party, and he founded the Southwest Voter Registration Project in 1974. SVREP got its start in San Antonio with Willie Velasquez sitting behind a small desk, making phone call after phone call to potential voters. In his short life, he organized 1,000 voter drives across the Southwest and doubled the number of Latino elected officials from 1,500 in 1974 to 3,300 in 1988, the year he died. Lidia Camarillo, the current president of SVREP, says the organization has come a long way in its 45 years.
I'm happy to say that when Willie Velasquez envisioned that it was important for America to participate in a democratic process, he had a vision, and it was a vision that Latinos voted. But we have to put also in perspective the history at the time. First of all, when Willie Velasquez wanted to start the organization, it was around the same time MALDEF started, the Mexican American Legal Defense Fund. So move back several years. It's 1929. LULAC starts with members modeling it after the NAACP membership organization with the idea that we needed to find an organization to protect us from discrimination, whether it's housing or employment or voting and the electoral process. Political access. It's 1968. It's the middle of the civil rights. The lawyers that are members of LULAC then decide, we've been doing this for how many years, how many decades, and we still see signs that say, no dogs, no Mexicans. So they then decide to follow the NAACP Legal Defense Fund and start MALDEF. The idea was, if we can't fight them with our voice, lobbying members that are elected in other ways, then now we need to sue them. And let's start MALDEF. Well, Willy Velasquez was friend with many of those leaders, and they were all very young. Willy Velasquez was under 25 years old. He was a student. And as he was thinking about doing this, and before he the organization became an official 501c3, he basically had a folding chair, a folding table, a rotary phone, and he would call you and say, in this case, Norma, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time you were being called. Just call in to see, find out if you're registered to vote. And if you would say yes, he'd say, thank you, please vote. And if you would say no, he'd say, can I come and register to vote? I've set up a time. He filed for the 501c3 status in 68 all the way to 74. So Willie never stopped. He started in 68. And since we opened our doors, South Dakota has registered 2.7 million Latinos. We have trained 150,000 leaders, some of them who are elected officials, business leaders, heads of nonprofits, leaders who are making a difference. And we have won 155 voting rights lawsuits. But we also know that we have to be diligent about the public policies and hold those that govern responsible. So we have a lot of successes, but the fight continues, and it's only up to us to decide whether we're going to take it on and, through our vote, change America's democracy so that we're respected and treated with dignity.
And I know that SVREP takes its registration project into high schools, and I understand that Willy Velasquez Day, which was recognized by the Texas legislature just a few years ago, the SVREP uses that day to go to high schools and register voters. So can you tell us a little bit more about that coming up?
We're very, very excited about the fact that we can celebrate May 9th. It's Willy Velasquez Day. We are hoping that in 10 years, everybody not only celebrates it, but calls it a day of service. We're very lucky that Senator Melendez was one of the authors who wrote this bill. The governor signed it. Willie was a very humble person. He passed away when he was 44 years old, very, very young, in what I think was the peak of his time. Willie's legacy was about service. And so when we were able to get the legislature to make May 9th a holiday, we then decided that we had to find a way to coordinate the work we do with his day. And so one thing that we know for sure doing this work is that fall is a great time to register college students. In the summer, it's a great time to be out at the Walmarts and at the flea markets and other places, at the theaters and everywhere else where people hang out so we can register to vote. But for the high schools, today's the time, because most young men and women turn 18 who are eligible to vote in the spring. And so we began to have a conversation, and we sent a letter to 150 high schools in Bexar County and Dallas and Fort Worth and Houston. And we've asked them to partner with us and help us register the students in their classrooms, because there's a law that says that every principal must register to vote twice a year. Or partner with us, and we'll also help you figure out a strategy where the students do this. Obviously, you have to follow the law. You must be deputized. The student must be 18 years old, a U.S. citizen, and registered to vote. But that's easy to figure out and start engaging the community. So we have been contacting all the schools. We have until the 9th. We won't stop there, but that's the day that we're asking people to do it, so that, in fact, it's part of a day of service in the name of Willy Velasquez, the founder of South Dakota Voter. On May 24th, we're going to have our Willie Velasquez dinner. It is our fundraiser, a benefit dinner. So our May 24th dinner provides for us to begin to build the resources, build the war chest, to build the resources to not only get ready for this election, because we are already working on that, but more importantly, to prepare for 2020, because a lot's at stake. A lot's at stake in this election. But next election, we've got the U.S. Senate seat, we've got the president, we've got congressional, we've got state house seats. And this next election also decides who will decide redistricting. And redistricting, again, is about resources and power. It's about, will there be enough Latino seats, majority Latino seats, where Latinos, which this basically means the Latinos vote, and their vote has the political clout to make a difference and decide the outcome.
We've been talking with Lidia Camarillo, president of the Southwest Voter Registration Project. More of our conversation is online at tpr.org. And for information on how to register to vote, visit votetexas.gov. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz, and our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.